Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello.
Hi.
How are ya?
How's it going?
What are you doing? What you up to?
What's the deal with podcasts?
What's the deal with this?
I know what the deal with this is. It's Ghosts Are Everywhere.
What? I'm Carly.
I'm Cecilia.
And you're right. This is Ghosts Are Everywhere.
That's the deal.
Welcome to it. That's the deal.
Welcome to another week of ghosts and maybe goblins and maybe vampires and maybe...
And probably ghouls.
Ghouls. Perhaps a ghoul or two.
Ghastly goings
on. Some poltergeists.
What? Wow.
Oh.
An array of sorts.
We spoke a little bit about Harry Potter last week. And
yeah.
I, as promised, read the Philosopher's Stone. Did I say that last week? I don't remember when I read it.
Oh, well, I mean, you've been on your Harry Potter kick.
I've been
recently,
on my Harry Potter kick lately.
Yeah,
and
you've
I
made
read,
that known, yeah.
I read the first one. And a very important character that I forgot that I was upset that they neglected to include in the films is Peeves,
yes.
The poltergeist.
Peeves is so good.
Peeves is,
yeah, they included a lot of ghosts, but they did not a lot. They had like nearly headless Nick.
They did.
That's it.
Forget a lot of the ghosts. They didn't include Peeves. They didn't. I don't remember.
Peeves
is the Bloody
was
Baron?
Good.
The Bloody Baron. Maybe they kind of like.
They like show,
they show
him briefly.
Him.
I think. Yeah, there's like a few they just like breeze past. Like kind of like to establish they all have a ghost.
There's also
but, like,
the
they don't actually go
like
into
history
it.
Of magic professor who is a ghost, which is amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's totally amazing.
So we want to launch a petition to remake or re-edit all of the Harry Potter movies with more ghosts.
Yeah. We're not here for this ghost revisionist history.
Yeah.
We really want to make sure
we
that
think...
the integrity of the Harry Potter histories is, you know, intact because more ghosts.
We think
please.
It's very important that all the ghosts are included and not just nearly Headless Nick and Moaning Myrtle, even though those two are iconic.
Yes. Iconic, really,
yeah,
and truly.
Very important.
I always forget that Moaning Myrtle is a ghost.
Yeah.
She's
literally
a ghost. She's a bathroom ghost.
She's fully a ghost. She's a bathroom ghost, and she just, like, wants to see everybody naked in the bathroom.
She's a little bit of a freak.
She's a little bit of a... She's a lot. She is such a freak.
She's a lot of a freak.
She's a freak. She hangs out in the bathroom all the time.
Do you think she can leave the bathroom? Because a lot of the ghosts move about the castle.
Yeah, the other ghosts, like, hang out and move around, and she's like, no, I died here. I'm staying here.
She's like, this is my hangout.
Yeah.
I like the bathroom.
Yeah.
Has everything I need.
Can the ghosts in Harry Potter, can they leave the castle? Like, is that a thing? What's the ghost logic of Harry Potter compared to,
yeah.
like, other ghost
well,
pieces of
well,
media?
Well, because, like, I'm thinking about how, like, the wizards and stuff have flu powder.
Yes.
What if a ghost got a handle on some flu powder? Is that going to work for them?
I don't know. Can ghosts
if they
apparate?
Were a ghost in their life? Can they apparate? Can they disapparate?
I don't know. These are the real questions.
Can they travel here and there?
And I would love it.
These are
it.
The Harry Potter questions that we need to answer.
I would love it if J.K. Rowling never answered them.
That's exactly it. Because if she answers it, as we know, she ruins everything.
Yeah.
So
I would love it if she never spoke
prefer,
about this. And if she has, in fact, spoken about this and told people, don't tell us. I don't care.
Yeah, we'll ignore it. But we want to hear what you have to say. So if you want to let us know.
If you have opinions,
feel free.
Let us know. If you actually
thoughts
know
and feelings, if you are a ghost who flew powder in somewhere,
if you know based on the original seven books, let us know.
Yeah.
If you know based
off
because
we don't care about the movies,
if we,
just the books.
Well, the movies are revisionist history. They're cutting out the ghosts.
Exactly. We know there's not enough ghost information.
If you know based off of any like extra bonus shit that J.K. Rowling has released since the like final book, I don't give a shit, don't tell me.
Yeah like I don't I mean this isn't that controversial. I think a lot of folks who enjoy things like the Harry Potter series don't care about the extra stuff that comes after, like the extended universe stuff, because a lot of it's dumb,
a lot of it is really annoying,
especially if it's Harry Potter. Like the stuff that she's been like, oh yes, or oh no,
oh,
it's
actually this, and you're like, okay, but
you're like, actually I don't care,
I don't
instead
really
I'm not gonna
care. So yeah, we would love if someone would recut all of the Harry Potter films and make sure that Peeves is in there because he's very important.
Yeah, if someone could do that. I see, I actually, that just flooded back to my memory.
Peeves?
I remember when we, Peeves. No, but I also remember when the movies first came up, I was mad Peeves wasn't in them. Because we were so excited they were going to come out and then Peeves wasn't in them. We were like, what?
Peeves?
Peeves is so funny and mischievous. Kids love funny and mischievous.
Yeah, he's great.
Why do you think we love doing this podcast? We are kids who love funny and mischief. Okay?
Why do you think that my favorite Harry Potter characters are the Weasley twins?
Oh, I love the Weasley twins. See, I was a Ron girl, though. I love Ron because he's mischievous.
He is mischievous.
And a little dumb.
Oh, no. My favorite growing up was Hermione, obviously. But I'm...
Well, because we all wanted to be
I'm
Hermione.
Very much not a Hermione.
Adult?
Adult. Or, like... I liked books, so that's why I was like, I'm like Hermione, but I didn't like rules, so.
Yeah, you hate rules, you're way, if, out of the big three, the Harry, Rons, and Hermione's, you're a Ron.
I'm Ron, yeah.
You're Ron for sure. Yeah. I'm a Ron who thought I was a Hermione.
Yeah.
Where's a couple of Rons?
Yeah.
Just little dum-dums.
Couple little dum-dums.
I also thought I was Harry, because growing up, I always thought I was the main character.
Oh,
like a main character complex.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, kids who read a lot, I think, are always picture themselves as the main character because that's how it's written.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's
but
what you're going to
do. A couple of rounds,
and then, yeah, you would, like, pick your, like, favorites. I think my favorites... My favorites in the movies were the Weasley twins, obviously, the best.
I liked Dobby. Dobby is
God.
Elf.
I had a big Dobby 180 watching the movies because I really didn't like him when he first shows up in Chamber of Secrets. Yeah. I was like, nope, can't do this.
He's scary.
He's so weird. Okay, my brother, when that movie first came out, me and my brother and my dad went to see it in theaters. My brother was like maybe five. Probably younger than that, like three. And he cried and had to, like, leave because he was so scared of Dobby.
Not Luke. Yeah. He's so scary. Dobby's scary in that movie.
And he's really, like...
He gets cuter as it goes.
Oh, yeah, because he's only in that one and, like, the last... The second... Maybe the last one? Or... Yeah, the second last one he's in. Because he, like, sucks in Chamber of Secrets. And then in Deathly Hallows Part 1, he does, like, a full turnaround. I'm like, Dobby rules. I love Dobby.
Dobby
and then I'm
forever,
sobbing at the end.
Oh. Yeah.
Big Dobby turnaround. This is our Harry Potter corner once again.
Yeah. Right off the top.
Right off the top.
Getting it out of the way.
Very important.
I love the idea of... remembering that there's more ghosts and things we liked as kids than we remember. That makes a lot of sense for us growing up as kids who liked ghosts and things.
Yeah. And there are vampires and werewolves and that kind of shit too. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, how can you not?
Dragons. We were talking about dragons last week.
We were last week.
Love
That's
dragons.
Right. Dragons. I don't know. Like, do some kids grow up not being, like, into fantastical things? Like, I don't know.
I guess probably
we haven't had that experience. I mean, probably, like, I guess the kids that like math and stuff, maybe
sports. Jock kids.
just jocks. Yeah, they don't have time for things like ghosts and goblins and ghouls.
No,
they will. But you and I have all the time in the world.
Around the old pigskin.
We've never tossed a pigskin in our lives. I'm a vegetarian.
I've never placed my hands on a pigskin.
Except at the fair when I pet the pigs.
Oh, yeah. But that's attached to the pigs.
That's different. Not their skin.
Different.
It's just a pig.
Well, do we want to talk about ghosts and how they're everywhere and not just in Harry Potter?
You know, I do want to talk about how ghosts and how they're everywhere, not just in Harry Potter, and in our minds and in our dreams and in our memories.
And in our hearts.
I want to talk about how they're here and well and doing, I almost said alive.
Oh,
how
well.
They're here and very clearly unalive.
Alive in their
and
own
doing
ways.
Doing their deeds. And alive however they can be.
Alive in
and,
the way that they're able to.
That's right. We have a theme today,
we
Cecilia.
Do.
Speaking of non sequiturs, we have a good old classic theme.
We haven't done this in a hot minute. No, we haven't. What do we got? What do we got for the people today?
Well, if you read the description, then you already know. But we're doing hotels, baby. Ching ching. ride right to the top of the building. Yeah.
Ghosts aren't just in hotels. Transylvania. They're in lots of hotels.
They're in all kinds of hotels. Dang it, Cecilia. I was going to talk about Hotel Transylvania. That was what I planned on talking about. Oh, my God.
What if I just came on the podcast and was like, I decided that I didn't want to talk about a real haunted place. I want to talk about Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, I want to talk about an animated haunted hotel.
Would you be surprised?
Would you be surprised or mad? I think you would enjoy it and not be surprised. Because I know I would.
Would you be upset if I just described the plot to all three Hotel Transylvania
films?
Hotel
Transylvania. How are we feeling? There is a new Hotel Transylvania
there
coming out,
is,
though.
But I'm a little skeptical because...
the original cast is not
back. They're not.
I know.
Sandman's not back.
The Sandman isn't there, and I don't think I can do it.
And the director's
I do
not
know
back.
The...
It's a whole new crew.
I know. It's a whole new crew. I do know the guy who's voicing it, though, because he's famous on the internet for, like, doing impersonations.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's
one of those situations.
That's his thing. Yeah, his name is, like, Caleb Hayes or whatever. And he's really good at like, impersonations. He does specifically, like, character, like, he does, like, Disney characters and stuff.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I guess he did such a good track, blah, blah, blah.
Good for him.
Yeah, right?
Good for him for being able to do such a good impression. He could just take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, we'll hire you to actually play him. So that kind of, I kind of want to see it because of that, but.
Proud of him.
I just know it's not going to be the
I'm
same.
Skeptical.
We love Adam Sandler.
Nothing can top Hotel Transylvania 3.
I mean, they went on a cruise.
They go on a cruise. They live in a hotel and they go on a cruise.
They had a vacation from their vacation.
Everyone that stays at the hotel. Goes on a cruise.
Yeah, they shuttered the hotel for a season and went on a cruise. It was like
I'm gonna watch that
wow.
after this.
It really was great. Me too, actually. It's so good. We're not upsettingly so not gonna talk about that
no?
hotel.
Okay. What hotel you got
no,
for us?
Shockingly. Probably. I got a real life hotel, Cecilia.
A real life hotel.
Real life hotel. And if you live in the US or you're traveling to the US, though I wouldn't recommend that right now. We got a place for you. If you want to stay there, you can, because it's haunted as hell.
Oh boy.
We're traveling down to the south, baby.
Ooh,
we're going to Hot Springs,
baby.
Virginia.
Ooh, cute.
And we're going to a little place called the Omni Homestead Resort.
Oh, okay.
So.
I don't know if the words homestead and resort go together.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of words I just said. Some of them make sense. Some of them don't. We're going to get into it. The Omni Homestead Resort is a luxury resort in Hot Springs, Virginia. Since the mid-18th century, people have traveled to the area to use the warm springs. And of course, before that, we're very sure the indigenous peoples of the area were there before that, enjoying the hot springs.
Are they warm springs or hot springs?
They're hot, the warm hot springs.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I said warm springs.
Yeah, you said warm springs.
If they're warm, they're hot.
Are they warm
the
or are they hot?
Well, they're hot enough.
Okay.
Not as hot as us. Located in the middle of the Laney Mountains. I think I said that right.
Yep.
I do not know. The area boasts the largest hot springs in the Commonwealth.
Ooh.
And that's according to Wikipedia, which I thought was really weird because the U.S. isn't part
yeah.
of the Commonwealth.
Is this in Wikipedia from, like, 1765 or something?
Right. Pre-revolution.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I just wrote, even though the USA isn't actually part of the Commonwealth, LOL.
So largest where?
I think it's just, like, the largest, my understanding is probably the largest hot springs.
In the colonies.
In the colonies. Yeah, anywhere where the British said was theirs.
Yes.
At some point. Mm. It's also a National Historic Landmark and a member of the Historic Hotels of America.
Yep.
The Homestead Resort has a history extending more than 2.5 centuries.
Okay.
Cecilia.
Oldly settled.
Oldly settled. In 1766, after a land grant of 300 acres from good old Georgie Washington himself.
Okay. Heard of it.
Thomas Bullitt built a lodge on the site. Which is considered the founding of the resort. So that's why it goes back so far.
Okay.
He built a lodge there. He was like, I've been hearing talks about these hot springs from the people. I'm going to come here and do that.
Yeah.
And so he did.
It's a good place for a lodge.
Good place for a lodge. Block lodge.
Hmm. should have talked about that on the podcast.
We should have talked about that. Well, the theme isn't lodges.
No, it's not a
next
hotel.
Next time. Ugh. In 1832, Thomas Good, spelled G-O-O-D-E, Thomas Good, purchased the land, and as a doctor, he chose to expand the site to include medical therapies, establishing a European-style spa, as well as, you know, all kinds of treatments, and hydrotherapy. Fancy word for just saying, get the people wet, you know? Yeah. Put them in a hot spring.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, boom. They're better. It has been in high demand for vacationers ever since, and has played host to many special people, including 23 U.S. presidents.
That's a lot.
Everybody been going to the hot springs. That's like almost half of them.
How many presidents have there been? Like 23.
There's been like what? Like 45?
I don't know.
46?
Don't ask me.
46?
95.
I think they're currently on the 46th.
How many presidents?
Joey Biden. Uncle Joe is 46, I think. Yeah! Woo! I love to have knowledge in my brain. It's not just empty and full of air.
But only 45 individuals, because Grover Cleveland is the 22nd and the 24th.
Drama!
Wow! Grover. His name's Grover.
Grover. Grovey Cleve. What can you say?
Super Grover.
Grovey Cleve. One day I want to go through all of the presidents and give them all nicknames. Wouldn't that be funny?
No.
Grovey Cleve. That's really funny. That's funny.
I would get bored after like four. Yeah,
way
Georgie
than
Wash.
Grover Cleveland. Georgie Wash. It's just the same kind of nickname formula for all of them. Teddy Rose. We get it.
I can't think of any other presidents because I have Wilfrid Laurier stuck in my head.
Wilfie Lord. It works for any kinds of leaders. Justy True. See? Joey Bide. Yeah, it works for all of them.
Barry O.
During the Victorian era, from 1888 to 1892, a group of investors, including names like J.P. Morgan,
he did something,
bought and rebuilt the business. J.P. Morgan, he's the money guy.
Is he related to Captain Morgan?
He is the captain. Mm. Pretty sure he posed for the likeness of
J.P. Morgan
portrait.
And Captain Morgan are the same person.
They're the same man. Yeah. He likes to go incognito. That's his special name, Captain Morgan.
Yo-ho.
Yeah. Yo-ho-ho, and I got lots of money. That's what he liked to say. But they canceled that because they thought, that's not as piratey as we hoped.
Not, no. Well, money, you got not a pot of gold. That's the leprechauns. chest of
Irish
gold.
Pirates. Yeah. His chest of gold.
Chest of gold. Pirates. Treasure.
Treasure. So much treasure to be had in the world. Like ghosts everywhere.
Ghosts are a treasure.
Aw, to us they're definitely treasure. The original buildings burned down in 1901. Or if you're not an asshole, 1901.
I didn't like that.
As soon as it came out, I didn't like it either.
I don't like that.
It was old timey. I thought it'd be funny, and then I didn't enjoy
didn't
it,
like it
coming out of my mouth.
Nope. It was bad. It's very bad. I'm upset.
Okay, well, we'll recover. Okay. You want to know why it burnt down? Maybe this will help you recover from that.
Fire.
Yeah, ghosts? But do you know where it started? Not ghost fire.
In the stables.
No, good guess. A fire in the bakery is to blame.
Fire in the bakery?
No, not the bread. Anything but the bread.
Oh, they burnt that bread so bad.
They burnt the bread so badly. It burnt the whole place to the ground. Oh. The main hotel was constructed afterwards. So the main hotel as we know it today.
Okay.
And it was constructed basically about a wing a year. Like, that's the rate it was reconstructed.
Okay.
With the lobby. It's like the central building being constructed in 1902, so just a year later.
Okay.
Remember how we were gonna play the president game, Celia, and you said yes, but then you said no, but really you said no, but then yes?
Yes.
Well, no. President William Howard Taft, aka Willie Howie Taft.
Willie H. Tafty.
Willie Howie Tafty. Aw, not Willie Howie Tafty.
W.H. Taffington.
Williwam Howerton Taftarunu.
Oh dear.
Spent some of 19. That was really longer than his own name.
Taftarunu.
Spent some of 1908 there. He spent like a few months while he was doing his campaign, you know?
Oh, good for him.
He had to unwind, you know, his hard life.
Good on the campaign for him. Trail. Must be nice.
Must be nice, guy.
Must be nice. Go to fucking hot springs.
Yeah, he's like, hot springs are for me. I'm a special boy.
Spring. Where's the closest hot spring to here? I don't fucking know.
Alberta?
Is that a spa?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Ontario has hot springs.
I don't know.
At the spa.
We don't have mountain. Well, yeah, we have the hot, like the hot. Let me look it up.
Like the hot spas have them. The spas
what if I
have them.
Hot springs. Oh, hot springs, Arkansas. Is that what you're talking about?
No, Virginia. I'm not. Virginia.
There's correct. Also a city in Arkansas.
No, we're not talking about Arkansas. That's not. It's not for today.
Arkansas. There's five amazing hot springs near Toronto. They're all at spas.
Oh, see, spas. Yeah, they're not natural. Then.
They're
not
natural. No.
They just make them up. You know who else spent some time there? Good old guy I mentioned before, Teddy Rose. Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Rose.
Theodore Roosevelt himself also
Rosie
spent some
Rose
time there.
Himself.
Mm-hmm. And it's not only, you know, a hot place for presidents. It's also served as an interesting place during wartime as well. Because during World War II, it served some different purposes, including becoming a, and this is not good, high-end internment camp for 785 Japanese diplomats and their families.
Well, at least it was high-end.
It's high, I know, but the words high-end internment camp high-end are never words
camp.
I thought I would say in the same sentence. And
cute.
That is alarming to me. These families, though, were later transferred to the Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia. And if your ears perked up at the mention of Greenbrier, yes, it's that Greenbrier.
That's ghost. There's ghosts.
Greenbrier, as in the Greenbrier ghost. Same place. The homestead was also the location of an important United Nations meeting during that war. That war. Led to, you know, that one war.
The second one.
During that war, it was a location of an important United Nations meeting that led to the establishment of the Food and Agriculture Organization. That's neat. And as you can imagine, it's hot springs. People love the outside. So recreation is big at the resort. Always has been. Golf is huge there, with two full golf courses, one of which has the first tee that is the oldest in continuous use in the USA. Which was established in 1892. The oldest golf in the land.
The oldest golf in the Commonwealth.
In the oldest golf never seen in the Commonwealth. That's probably not true, because Scotland did.
No, it's the oldest golf in the Commonwealth.
Scotland is not golf.
I'm anti-golf, so just gotta put that out there for the people to remind them.
Oh my gosh, why are you coming in hot with that? This hot springs is hot enough already.
Yeah, it's hot enough already. I'm anti-golf. Fuck golf.
Oh god. Clean up your act. Clean up your act.
It's bad. It's bad for the environment because they have to use so many pesticides on those stupid lawns.
Hey, I'm with you. I hate golf too, but I'm not out here saying it to the people.
Yeah, I'm not afraid.
I mean, I just did, but.
I'm not afraid to be political. I hate golf.
We're not afraid. We are here first, folks. We're not afraid to put it out there.
We are an
anti-golf
podcast. I'm sorry to take this stance. It's very controversial.
Celia, no one's ever going to invite us to play golf ever.
I'm sorry to alienate our listeners. Also, it seems boring. I want to go to a driving range, though.
Oh, driving range is actually kind of fun. I've been.
But you don't need like a good lawn for that. You can just do that, right?
You need it into garbage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Try
Why
it
not?
Out.
Exactly. See, that's fine. I'm pro driving range. I'm anti golf.
The thing that's a bummer though is we would love the activity of going golfing. Because you drive around on a little car, you get to wear a cute outfit, and you get to just, like, drink openly in the outdoors.
Yeah, you know that would turn
and,
out
like,
poorly
around,
because
literally.
I would drink a lot and then drive even worse than I usually drive because I'm drunk and on a golf course. I've already almost killed people on golf carts and I wasn't even drinking or playing golf.
Yeah, I guess we can't really live our fancy lady lives. That's okay.
No.
We'll do it another day.
But if anyone invites me, I'll...
By the way, I got a bunch of my information from today from Wikipedia, from frightfind.com, from historichotels.org, and omnihotels.com.
Cute.
I got all my information. So, not only golf, Cecilia, since you hate golf so much, let me tell you about some other stuff they have going on. They've got tennis, they got skating, they got skiing.
Skating's nice. Skiing's
they got swimming. They have,
I like to swim.
A fitness center that they made sure to let us know that they have Pelotons at the fitness center. They got horseback riding. They got fly fishing.
Peloton was more of like a at-home thing.
Apparently, they also have it at the fitness center. So
I guess at a hotel, that makes sense.
If you're like away, yeah.
You can join your Peloton.
Don't want to miss your Peloton
or whatever. I don't really know how Peloton works.
It's a cult. I'm not sure how it works either.
Yeah.
Horseback riding, fly fishing, shooting club, zip line tour, nightly movies at the on-site movie theater, and something called a Southern Social Hour that I'm very interested in.
That sounds
fun.
Okay.
Sounds Southern? Sounds sociable.
Do I have mint juleps?
That's what I'm hoping for. That's where my brain went. Would love a mint julep on a hot summer day.
Did you know that a mint julep is basically just a mojito?
Yes! It's delicious! It's so good! They truly have everything we could want, Cecilia. Mm-hmm. Including ghosts!
Oh my god, really?
Including ghosts. So, the homestead has such an infamous ghost that on the Historic Hotel's website, under history, they have a history tab for the hotel. Mm-hmm. It just is another tab that just says ghost stories. Yeah.
Oh my
so,
god, amazing.
If you find it, what a treat.
That's how you know it's good.
So, here it is. In the early 1900s, the Homestead Resort was to host a beautiful wedding. The bride had a room on the 14th floor where she was preparing for the day. She was so eager to be married. Unfortunately, her groom did not feel the same.
Oh, dear.
He was overrun with second thoughts. So, on their wedding day, the groom said for his bride to wait in her hotel room as he ran out for a quick errand.
Sure.
You want to guess what happens, Celia?
Peace out. He's out of there.
You betcha. The groom was never to return.
Oh my god. Runaway groom.
And unfortunately for our bride, she was so distraught that she took her own life, which is awful.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Ever since, guests and staff alike have reported sightings of a ghostly apparition that resembles a woman in her wedding gown. She is especially seen wandering the 14th floor, seemingly searching for her lost love. Which, like, yikes. Girl, get out!
I don't think he's here. He left.
It's so sad.
You should find a new ghost hubby.
You should find yourself a ghost guy. Get with him.
Find yourself a hot ghost.
Check the stables. Why not? Some have even reported that she asks them for the time, which to me is scary and sad. Can you imagine a ghost lady, what time is it?
Why does a ghost care what time is it?
Because she's waiting for the wedding. What time is it?
What time is it?
What time is it? She's not like, what time is it? Is it time for lawn bowling?
Is it
like,
time for lunch?
is it time for dinner yet?
Like,
no,
you're
she's
a ghost.
She's asking
you
for
don't
time
because...
She knows her wedding time, probably.
Oh, dear.
Unless she's just a fun ghost and literally just doesn't know
dear.
What time it is.
Maybe she just wants to start a conversation and she's not sure how.
That's her opening line.
Yeah, that's her opening line. She's like, okay, how should I start this? I'm going to ask them what time it is. And then maybe they'll, like, chat with me. But then they also get freaked out because she's a ghost.
Yeah, every time she goes, oh, man, I thought I had it this time.
She's trying to find herself a new hubby, but no one will talk to her because she's scary.
No one will talk to her because she's a ghost.
She's also not good at starting conversations.
She asks them for the time, and they're like, what? And others say that after they speak with her, she disappears in a flash. So maybe it's her, too. Maybe she's like, she scares herself with how bold she is.
Yeah. She's like, oh my god, I actually talked to someone. And then she's just like, okay, wait, gotta go.
Runs away.
Gotta and, go. And
that's the Omni Homestead Resort. They also, Cecilia, have a podcast, actually, called Beyond the Tower, which is an insider's look at the people and stories of the iconic resort. So maybe one day they want to work with us and come on and then tell us about their ghosts. Though I also already told us about their ghosts. So
yeah, that's true. But if they ever want to expand on the story and tell us some insights.
Absolutely. Or have us on theirs to talk about the ghosts. We'd be down. Mm-hmm. Either way. And
where's that? Virginia? Let's go. I want to go to a hot spring.
Virginia. Yeah.
It's spring.
Also like just one of the oldest hotels in America, which is
that's cool.
Yeah.
I looked up hot springs around us and they're all in spas unless you want to go to Alberta or Quebec.
I said Alberta.
Not Quebec or BC because they're always in the mountains.
Well, yeah, cuz that's how water works.
That's how hot springs are.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how hot springs work. So we don't have any in Ontario unless you just want to go to a fake one at a spa.
Fakers. What are you gonna do?
Not real.
Wow. Well, hopefully you have something real for us, Cecilia, today.
Oh, I sure do. I'm also going to the mountains.
What? We're mountain people.
I don't know. No hot springs, though, that I know of. Probably nearby, but not here.
Mountain mama. That's us.
Take me home. Yeah, we're going home. We're going to Colorado.
Good old Colirad.
And I was like pretty convinced that I had done this one already before because I'm like just really surprised I haven't. So I think we've like talked about it in passing or like brought it up.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think I've covered it.
Let's do
it. And if
it.
I have, oops, but I really made sure that I
have. If you have, you're welcome, everyone.
You're welcome. I'm talking about it extra. Again. So I'm going to talk about the Stanley Hotel in Colorado.
Okay. You definitely haven't because I also had that thought that we've definitely probably done this.
And yeah.
We definitely haven't.
We just haven't.
Yay!
So this is the hotel that inspired Stephen King to write The Shining.
Come play with us, Cecilia.
Yeah! We're doing it. Okay. So it is a big old hotel in the mountains in Colorado with panoramic views of Lake Estes, the Rockies, and Long's Peak. It's located in Estes Park, which I don't know if I'm saying right. It could be Estes. I think it's Estes. I don't know. Colorado.
Emilio Estevez.
Emilio Estes. About 5 miles from the entrance to Rocky Mountain National Park and about an hour's drive from Denver.
Oh my gosh. So it's next to the chocolate factory?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what the park is. It's a big chocolate factory.
Oh, yeah. Rocky Mountain National Park is actually just a big-ass chocolate factory.
Right?
Rocky Mountain High. Yep.
Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory.
Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory.
Right? That's it.
Really
right?
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, I know.
It has, it's a 14,000 square feet hotel with 140 rooms, a spa, restaurant, and a bed and breakfast. The valley was once obviously like wilderness, mountains. No one was really settled there because it was more of like a mountainous area. But the nomadic Ute, do you know how to say that? Ute?
Oh, I think it's Ute.
Ute? Is it Ute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Arapaho.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the area.
Makes sense.
Hung out, but they were nomadic, so they didn't really like.
Yeah.
Stay in one place. So they were like the people in the area. But then, of course, Europeans started to settle into the States in the late 1800s. Settlers started to sort of move out west. So they found Colorado.
Right.
They found the Rocky Mountains. They were like, wow, this is beautiful. We love it. We're going to go for hikes. We're going to hang out and we're going to cut down all the trees.
Become outdoor people.
We're going to be outdoorsy.
we're going to be outdoorsy, except we're going to take the outdoors and bring it indoors and then bring ourselves outdoors.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
We're going to cut down the trees. We're going to kill the beavers. We're going to.
Yes.
Shoot some moose.
Old growth schmold growth. That's what they always say.
Old growth, never heard of it. So the history of the hotel began in 1903 when a dude called Freeland Oscar Stanley arrived into the valley.
That's an excellent name, and I'm bummed that they only took his last name because that's an excellent
Freeland
name.
Freeland Oscar, also
Freeland
known
Oscar.
As F.O. Stanley.
Also known as Freely Deely. Oscar Freely Deely.
Freely Oski Stanley.
Stanley Reilly.
Stanley Reilly. He was an inventor, an entrepreneur, an hotelier, and an architect.
I think with a name like that, you're legally obligated to become an inventor.
His name's fucking F.O. Stanley.
I think you have to be.
Yeah.
I love that for him.
So he actually, we were talking about this earlier, he invented dry plate photography. So that would be of interest.
That is very much of interest.
Photography heads.
That's right. If you remember when we had Casey on a few episodes back talking about photography and ghost photography. Yeah.
So he invented the dry plate method of photography. Which made him cool and neat. Yeah. Made him like a multimillionaire. He got a lot of money off of that. And then he created the Stanley Motor Carriage Company with his twin brother, which made him even more rich because they produced the Stanley Steamer, which was the fastest vehicle on the earth. No.
Stanley it's a car. Steamer, the carpet cleaner.
It's a car.
No, he should make the carpet cleaner with the name like Stanley Steamer.
Did you just make that up?
No, that's a real thing. You never heard Stanley Steamer?
No, Stanley Steamer is a car.
Stanley Steamer is also a carpet cleaner.
Is it?
Yeah, how is it both? I think it's a pun on, it must be a pun on this.
Must be.
Because they use steamer as in like steam.
Oh yeah, Stanley
like
Steamer, carpet cleaning company. Yeah. Carpet cleaner. That's interesting. I've never heard of them. I've only heard of the car.
I literally sang their jingle. That's a real jingle.
I know. That's why I was like, did you just make that up?
Honestly, it sounds like something I would make up, but also it's not. It's real.
So you're just like, that rhymes. I'm going to say it. No, but the Stanley Steamer, the motor vehicle, was the fastest vehicle on Earth at the time of its creation.
With a top speed of
127 miles per hour. Which is pretty fast.
That's pretty fast.
No, it's not bad.
In the early days, that's fast as hell. People are still riding horses places.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to make this fast car.
Fast and furious. Man after your own heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's doing it.
Wow.
But in 1903, F.O. Stanley was having a rough time. He had tuberculosis. He was way underweight. He was dying. He was told that he should seek out fresh, dry air, sunlight, and a healthy diet, like any other tuberculosis patients.
Right.
But he was told that he was pretty much done. He was done for. He was going to be dead by the end of the year.
Oh, boy.
So, like other wealthy folks with tuberculosis, he headed out with his wife to Colorado because that's where you got the fresh air, you got the mountains, you can, like, die in peace, basically.
Yeah, they're like, you can get some natural times and things in your lungs and maybe it'll bring you back to life, but maybe at least if you die, you'll die in a nice place.
Exactly. So they shipped off from Massachusetts and they went to Denver and then they were told about the Estes Valley.
Okay.
So they went there.
Right.
And after just like a couple of months there, Stanley was like as good as new. He was cured.
Oh my God. He really got that good Colorado air.
Yeah. So he was like really impressed with the area. But, of course, he's, like, a fancy rich guy, and in 1903, this area was still pretty, rugged.
Rural.
There wasn't a lot of, like, fancy places for rich people to hang out. So he, being an entrepreneur, was like, this is a business opportunity for me.
Yeah, he's like, I've always dreamt of being a hotelier with my name.
Oh, I could be a hotelier. So in 1907, he arrived back. With a plan to turn the place into a resort town.
Oh, dang.
He's like, it's too rugged. I'm going to make it fancy schmancy so that all my rich friends can hang out here and see what I see. So he opened it up. The main hotel and the concert hall were completed in 1909. At first, it was, like, very exclusive. It was mostly just for, like, his rich friends
to come hang out. It was just a fun time, like a passion project.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, it's by appointment only my pals. You have to be on my good side, and then you'll be invited to my hotel.
It's appointment only if you're on the guest list, and the only way you can get on the guest list is if you've been invited to the guest list.
If you're nice to me.
You have to be personally invited by him. Yes. Oh, that's so funny.
It was originally a summer resort, like, way back then. There was, like, no way of getting out there in the winter. They didn't have, like, snowplows and shit, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's Colorado. The winter there
is winter. It's Colorado. It's in the mountains. It's an hour away from Denver. Like, you're not going to get out there. The heat.
If you're out there in winter, you're snowed in. Like, that's
stuck. It's like the, it's like The Shining.
It's like The Shining.
This is like The Shining.
Hey, this seems a little like The Shining.
A little bit like The Shining. I wonder why.
I wonder why this seems like The Shining. I'm not sure about it.
Yeah.
You know, you know The Shining?
The Shining.
This seems like The Shining.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I kind of feel like The Shining. But they didn't install heat until 1979. So,
even
if they wanted to have people there in the winter.
No. You would just not do well. You would die.
Summer only.
Summer vibes.
So, there is the Stanley Hotel National Register Historic District.
Ooh.
And it has 11 buildings, including the main hotel, a concert hall, a carriage house, a manager's cottage, gatehouse, and the lodge, which is a smaller bed and breakfast that was originally called Stanley Manor.
Cute. Very fancy.
And they've added on to it, so there's like sort of like a condo building with like apartment style areas that you can stay.
That's neat.
It's a whole thing. But in the 1970s, the hotel was kind of not doing so hot.
Okay.
It didn't have heat installed yet.
Right, that's right.
Ew. It didn't have air conditioning either. So, like, even in the summer, people are like, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go somewhere else that has all these, like, more modern amenities. Like, this place is old as hell. I don't want to go there. It also had a reputation for, like, of being haunted.
Already at that time?
Already. But, like, back then, that was more of a, like, reason not to go.
Right. Yeah, now it's more of an incentive to go. Yeah, I guess, like, it was open for, what, like, 50, 60 years at this point without really any real...
Yeah, like, 60 years.
Updated? That's... You can't keep a... Like, in today's world, a hotel would not survive 6 years without an updates. No. Like, that's impossible.
I'm sure they, like, updated some things. But, yeah, they didn't have heat. They didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, that would not fly.
It's old-timey.
Oh, boy. Wow.
So 70s.
It was the olden days.
It was the olden days. It was the 1970s.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So in 1974, it was kind of not doing so hot when someone checked in who would like change all that for them.
I have no idea. I have no clue who that could be at all.
I have no clue in my life. Well, you were talking about The Shining.
I was?
Yeah. You brought it up. We brought it up in passing. And did you know that The Shining's actually a book?
I don't read, so.
Okay, well, it's a book, and it's written by someone named Stephen King.
Stephen King?
Stephen.
Not Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Stephen King. So Stephen King and his wife, Tabitha, in 1974, they were living in Boulder, Colorado.
Classic.
And King was, like, struggling. He was having a hard time with the project that he was working on. And he was looking for an isolated setting for his novel.
So
he was talking to locals, and they were like, well, you should go up to Estes Park. You should go there, because it's like way out in the middle of the nowhere. It's isolated. It's in the fucking mountains.
No one will bother you, bud.
No one will bug you. You can go there. So they went up to Estes Park, and they ended up staying at the Stanley. The hotel at the time that they went was actually closing the next day for the season.
Oh my god.
It was super weird. They were the only ones staying there.
That's really freaky.
Yeah.
That's so really weird.
They were like the only ones there. They ate dinner in like an empty dining room. Our pal Stevie, he wandered around the empty hallways. He visited the bar and the bartender named Grady.
Oh my gosh, Cecilia, you put yourself in the story with that.
I'm in the story.
Grady.
And also in The Shining.
In the 70s.
Yeah, did you know that the, like, sisters in The Shining are the Grady sisters?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wonder where that comes from.
Interesting. And the bartender's name is Grady. So this like emptiness and weirdness and the remote setting inspired him, and he claims, and I quote, "It was like God put me there to hear that and see those things." He said that he dreamed of his 3-year-old son running through the corridors, looking back over his shoulder, eyes wide, screaming. He was being chased by a fire hose. I woke up with a tremendous jerk, sweating all over, within an inch of falling out of bed. I got up, lit a cigarette, sat in a chair, looking out the window at the Rockies. And by the time the cigarette was done, I had the bones of The Shining firmly set in my mind.
Oh, that's and that so scene good.
That he described, like a kid being chased by a fire hose, isn't in the movie, I don't think, but it's in the book.
Yeah, it's not in the movie.
Yeah, it's in the book.
That's cool.
So, infamously, the 1980 film adaptation of The Shining is hated by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He hates it. it wasn't filmed at the Stanley. The exteriors were filmed at a different hotel in Oregon or something like that. I didn't write it down, but I found it. And the interiors were just, like, fake. They weren't really based on anything.
Yeah.
But Stephen King wrote and produced a miniseries in 1996, which was filmed at the Stanley Hotel.
Come play with us, Stephen. So that version, come play with us, Stephen.
It's not as iconic.
Yeah.
It is more true to the novel and to Stephen King's vision.
Makes sense.
Because
why does he hate it so much?
Because it's really, like, loosely based on the book.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, yeah.
It, like, is the same characters and sort of overarching story, but it's
very different. The details are very different.
There's like a lot of, like, the story is the same mostly, but the details are very different, and yeah, just like changed a lot.
It's not because
Stephen King did not like.
It's because he's not. It's not because he's a Shelley Duvall hater.
No, he's a big Shelley Duvall stan, and he actually hated how Stanley Kubrick treated her, and that's why he hates it.
Because that's why we hate it, but okay, good. That's the issues we have with the film.
He didn't agree with Kubrick's treatment of women, and that's why he hates The Shining.
Okay, all right. Well, I can get on board with that.
You seen the, what's it called? The like, sequel to The Shining, the movie?
I surely have not.
It's good. What's it called again? Dr. Sleep. Dr. Sleep rules.
Whoa, all right.
Dr. Sleep slaps. You should watch it.
Maybe I will.
What was I talking about? Oh, okay. So in the film, the like scary room is room 237.
Yes.
But that was changed from the book, which references room 217, because the hotel that they were filming in didn't want them to like reference a real room.
Right.
So they changed it to 237.
Okay.
But the actual room that Stephen King stayed in at the Stanley was room 217.
Sick.
Which is reportedly haunted.
Hell yeah, it is. Hell yeah, it is. Say it with me. Hell yeah, it is. Hell yeah, it is.
So in 1911, there was a housekeeper named Mrs. Wilson, and she was lighting the lanterns in room 217. Well, there was like a storm going on, and for some reason, there was an explosion in that room.
Oh no! Which, I don't like that very much.
The floor just like blew up, and she went straight through.
Oh my god!
Luckily, she survived. She broke both of her ankles, but she survived.
Casual.
But people believe that because of this trauma, she still like inhabits the room.
That's really drama.
Because she's a good housekeeper, she unpacks people's luggage and she moves the things around. She also turns the lights on and off. She also is a, you know, good Christian woman, and she doesn't like when unmarried guests sleep together.
She's not into it.
She doesn't like it.
She's
so
not
couples,
into it.
Unmarried couples who sleep together in room 217 have reported feeling a cold force between them in bed. When they wake up, sometimes they find that the man's things have been packed up with his luggage by the door.
That is incredible.
She's salty.
That's incredible. If you want to break up with someone, that's a perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
Go there.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, I think that was a ghost.
Oh, there must have been a ghost. Oh, no. Oh, your things are bad. What?
Is it a ghost? Oh, I think you should probably leave.
I feel like a ghost packed up your luggage.
It was a ghost. Oh, no, I had nothing to do with it. No, don't let the, I have no idea what happened. But I think you should listen to the ghost. The ghost might have a point.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. I like that for her. It's funny. That's
she's really, like, oh, these people are not married.
She's like, I don't see a ring on that finger.
No, yeah. I know you're not married. I can see it in your eyes.
I can see the non-married lust in your eyes.
You don't look married to me. I know marriage.
I was married 73 years.
Marriaged. What else is haunted? Ooh, okay. The large staircase in the lobby is also thought to be a tornado of spiritual energy. A portal for ghosts to visit the hotel. It's nicknamed the Vortex.
Stop. That's iconic.
Yeah, the Vortex. So guests have reported feeling dizzy on the stairs, feeling cold spots. People have seen orbs and distortions in photos taken in the area. And Mr. and Mrs. Stanley themselves have been spotted there as well. Oh,
that's so good.
So I got my information, Wikipedia, of course, also the Estes Park Hotel website, nightlyspirits.com, Amuse, which is like a section of Vice.
Oh, yeah.
And legendsofamerica.com. Mm. The fourth floor is also very haunted, of course.
What?
So before it was converted into hotel rooms, the fourth floor was actually just a big attic with storage, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they turn it into lodging for the female employees, their children, and nannies. And now people who stay there report children running around in the hallways. And also the closet doors will often open and shut on their own.
Ooh.
Visitors to another haunted room, room 428 on the fourth floor, have reported the sounds of footsteps and furniture moving around. And many have also reported a friendly cowboy ghost.
Yeehaw, baby!
Yeehaw! Yeehaw! I love a friendly cowboy ghost.
Yeehaw!
That's so everything. He's often very friendly to women in particular.
Cecilia, we need to go to there and say yeehaw to
cowboy
ghost.
Yeehaw, cowboy ghost. Sometimes he tries to give guests, female guests, a little kiss.
Oh, he does not. What a rapscallion.
So if anyone wants to go kiss a friendly cowboy ghost,
what a ragamuffin. That's really funny.
What a ragamuffin.
What a ragamuffin. That cowboy here of mine.
No one's quite sure who the cowboy is because there's no record of any cowboy dying in the hotel. Though some people who know the history of the area believe that it may be Rocky Mountain Jim Nugent.
Rocky Mountain, hi!
Rocky Mountain Jim.
Rocky Mountain Jimbo!
This website just like mentions him in passing. so I had to look him up because I'm like, who is Rocky Mountain Jim?
They just expected you to know. That's
they just thought I was going to know. And I'm like, I don't know about this man. I need to know about this man.
I'm not from the Rocky Mountains.
So Rocky Mountain Jim Nugent was a visitor. He was a guide to the area in the late, late 1800s.
In the late mid to late
1800s. But it seems he got there in the late 1860s and kind of hung out. But he was described by a woman visiting the area as a broad, thick-set man about the middle height, with an old cap on his head and wearing a gray hunting suit, much the worse for wear, a revolver sticking out of the breast pocket of his coat, tawny hair in thin, uncared-for curls, fell from under his hunter's cap and over his collar. One eye was entirely gone, and the loss made one side of the face repulsive, while the other might have been modeled in marble. Of his genius in chivalry to women, there does not appear to be any doubt, but he is a desperate character and subject to ugly fits when people think it best to avoid him.
No!
And do you want to know why he's missing one eye and the one side of his face is all...
I'm desperate to know why.
It's he's because he was attacked by a grizzly bear, of course.
That is not what I expected at all.
He's Rocky Mountain Jim Carley.
He's so Rocky, so mountain. More Rocky or mountain than I ever could have imagined.
Do you hear?
I hear your grizzly bear that lives with you, that's for sure.
Do you hear this grizzly bear?
He's losing it.
He has decided that he wants to go outside.
So oh, he thinks he's an outside grizzly
once
bear.
Once in a while, he just meows at the door.
Oh, he doesn't know there's no outside.
It's because he got out the other day and now he's like desperate to get out again.
Oh, like, he's a sneaky boy.
No.
Well, right, so good thing that your grizzly bear hasn't eaten half your face.
Not yet.
At least not yet. That's true.
Not yet. So if anyone hears screaming, it's just my little grizzly bear. He's being bad. Where else is haunted? I mean, nothing can beat Rocky Mountain Jim, my best friend.
I mean, that's really good. I did not know about Rocky Mountain Jim, and I'm really excited to know about him now.
I'm really upset that Stephen King didn't include Rocky Mountain Jim.
I'm distraught that Stephen King didn't include Rocky Mountain Jim. I can't believe I've gone this many years of my life not knowing about Rocky Mountain Jim. Well, it feels like a tragedy and a travesty.
Now we know Rocky Mountain Jim, and everyone listening knows Rocky Mountain Jim, and we're all the better for it.
Thank goodness for that.
All right, what other ghosts we got? Flora Stanley, who is F.O. Stanley's wifey, she is thought to haunt the concert hall, which was built for her by her husband. She can sometimes be heard playing the piano in the hall late into the night when no one else is around. There's also the ghost of a man named Paul.
That sounds like a book. The ghost of a man named Paul.
The ghost of a man named Paul. It's not as good as Rocky Mountain Jim. His name is Paul.
It just sounds like one of those like quaint novels.
The ghost of a man named Paul. It's a short story.
Yeah.
Well, the ghost of a man named Paul. He used to enforce the hotel's 11 p.m. curfew back in the old days.
What a spicy man.
Yeah, he's the curfew man.
Or the opposite of that. He said, nay, nay. He said, no fun for you past 11 p.m.
No fun. It's 11 p.m. Go.
He says, nothing good happens after 11. Go to bed.
But not if you're unmarried.
But if you're married, go to bed. Yes. Oh, look at that man. Look at that man.
Do you have anything to say to the people? He's not screaming now that he's on mic.
I know. Now that he's literally next to the mic, he's like, no, I'm going to shut up.
Like, no, I'm not into it. Okay.
Sir, you're an idiot. Look, he has no tail. So cute.
Oh, he does have a little grizzly bear tail.
He's a little grizzly bear.
Okay. And he's helping us. Okay. So the ghost of a man named Paul, ghosts and employees who are in the hall past the 11 p.m. curfew have heard a voice telling them to get out late at night.
Ew, I hate that.
He also, when there are tours going through, if you request for him to flicker the lights of people's flashlights, he'll do it.
Oh, I like that. He plays along. He's like,
He plays along. He likes the ghost tours.
Aw, he gets to shine.
Also, the concert hall, there was something else important that I didn't write down, but yeah, I don't remember what it was. There's a trap door, but I don't remember who put it in. I think it was Houdini, but it could be wrong.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. There's also an old ice house, because, you know.
Oh, because, you know, ice.
Whatever. They need an ice house. And it is home to two spirits, though I could only find information on one of them. And the one spirit is Billy. Who is a boy. He's shy, but he will sometimes show up as a blurry figure in photographs.
That's cool.
So if you take pics at the ice house, you'll see him. The ice house now houses a little museum, which has some of the original Stanley steamer cars in it.
Cool. Not the carpet cleaners, though?
Also, speaking of Stephen King, is a pet cemetery on the grounds.
What? No, there's not a pet cemetery.
He sure is. What not sure heck? If that inspired his other novel, but maybe two two novels were inspired by this area. So two pets that are buried there are sometimes seen around the hotel. So there is Cassie, who's a golden retriever ghost.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Which is so cute.
That's the cute. That might be like up there for cutest ghost we've ever encountered.
I know. It's a golden retriever.
So cute.
And there's also Comanche. C-A-M-A-N-C-H-E. I don't know how to say it.
Sure.
Who is a fluffy white cat ghost. We got a ghost cat.
Ghost cat. We love ghost a ghost cat.
We love a ghost cat.
It's a classic.
Carly, guess what's underneath the hotel?
Oh, Cecilia, if you're about to say that there's tunnels beneath the hotel, I'm about to lose my mind.
Of course. So there's actually, because it's a hotel in the mountains, there are caves.
Oh, even better. Nature's tunnels.
So there's caves, there's tunnels, there's all that good shit that we love.
That's amazing.
So these caves contain a lot of limestone and quartz. So some people believe that that captures a lot of paranormal energy. So
yeah, people say quartz. Yeah, is a conductor of energy.
These caves, these tunnels are used by the employees to like get around.
Sure.
Which
is usually what tunnels are for.
Yeah, they're usually for the employees or the Illuminati.
Yeah, one of the two.
And they believe that the ghost of a pastry chef haunts the caves, as they can often smell, like, homemade pastries, even though, like, no one's baking anything.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
That's really cool.
Pierre is here again. It's croissants. Ooh, Pierre. Hi, Pierre.
The haunted tunnel pastry chef ghost.
Pastry Pierre is just out here. Smelling delicious. Like a snack!
The pastry cave.
Oh my god. The pastry king of the caves.
The pastry king of the Northwest. They also...
The pastry king of the Stanley Hotel. The pastry king of Colorado!
The pastry king of Colorado! The pastry ghost king of Colorado.
The pastry ghost king of Colorado!
There's also another ghost cat in the caves. Which is a gray cat with bright green glowing eyes.
Oh, that's freaky.
He hasn't been linked to the pet cemetery, so maybe he's a cave cat.
He's just a classic cave cat.
He's one of those cave strays.
Makes his home in the caves.
Yeah, one of those cave strays. In 2015, the hotel built a hedge maze in front of the hotel as a nod to the film version of The Shining.
Ooh.
In the book, there isn't a maze. It's topiary animals that, like, come to life and, like, try to kill them.
Oh, I like the maze better.
I think that would have looked really dumb.
It's
good
the
in
maze
a book.
Lens for better visual. Yeah.
It's good in a book, but as soon as it's 1980 and you have to put that on film, you're like,
yeah. I mean, they could have it would be very Edward Scissorhands of them to have
it would
just
be very
a bunch of topiary.
The topiary animals. So
yeah.
That's a Stanley Kubrick invention is the maze.
That's cool.
So it's not Stephen King approved.
Right.
But
the
Stanley Hotel decided to build a maze in front of the hotel.
Because they were like, that's kind of good.
Like, yeah, they're like, people will love this. People love this shit. Stephen King doesn't like The Shining, the 1980 film, but the people love it.
They love it.
So they built that. There's not necessarily any ghosts in the maze.
All right.
But people have reported feeling panicky and having trouble breathing while trying to, like, navigate it.
I mean, that's also just what mazes are.
It's a maze. And then also if you have the associations to The Shining, you're like, this is a scary maze.
Also, if you're in your Harry Potter fantasy world like Cecilia, mazes are not your friend.
Yeah, no, you're like, I know what can happen in mazes.
I watched Robert Pattinson die.
People know what happened die to you. In mazes. I've seen Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm. I know that mazes are a mess.
I know that mazes are evil. So, because of all of these, like, ghosts and the connection to The Shining, of course, the Stanley has become a top destination for ghost hunters, paranormal enthusiasts,
yeah, baby,
and horror fans. Of course, it's also just, like, a beautiful place to stay.
Yeah, it's the mountains of Colorado.
Even if you're not into the spooky elements, like, it's in the Rocky Mountains. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. So you can, of course, go and stay at the hotel. You can also just, like, hang out for a day. They have a spa. They have a restaurant. There's, like, beautiful That's scenery cool. and trails. It's close to the Rocky Mountain, like, National Park. They also offer a variety of tours, including a ghostly night tour.
Yes.
So if you want to go there and learn about the ghosts, you can do that. The day tour, they also talk about Stephen King, of course, and all the, like, haunted
bits. I mean, I don't think they can avoid it, right?
No, it's a big draw. So they talk about the history, but they also talk about Stephen King and the movie and all that stuff. There are special bookings available for the most haunted rooms, which are 401, 407, 428, and 217. They recommend that you book in advance for those ones because they're very popular.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there is also an on-site psychic named Madame Vera.
Stop!
Yeah.
Madame Vera!
Just in case you have any, you know, questions.
And you haven't any burning questions while you're
just
there.
Just in case you, like, experience anything, you can go talk to Madame Vera and she'll help
that
you out.
That is incredible news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great news. The
Stanley Hotel has an excellent news. They have an on-site psychic at the Stanley Hotel. That is incredible. I'm losing my mind over here. I'm obsessed with that idea.
So we should go and we should meet Madame Vera. Madame Vera, if you're listening, please come on the podcast.
Madame Vera,
we would love to have you.
Would absolutely be beside ourselves with joy. Well, we're going to go there and we're going to meet Madame Vera. And we're going to see the pets and we're going to do the maze and not be afraid. Well, maybe the last part is a lie, but we'll do the maze.
We'll do the maze.
We'll
be afraid. We should, when Omicron dies down, do a haunted hotel tour of America.
Oh, ain't that the dream, though? Ain't that the dream? Two more haunted hotels, Celia, for the books.
Two more haunted hotels to add to the list.
Put them on the list.
There's so many haunted hotels.
Oh, yeah, there's, like, infinity haunted hotels for sure.
We'll never run out of haunted hotels.
We'll never run out of haunted places, but also we won't run out of haunted hotels.
We could just make this podcast about haunted hotels and we would be able to keep it going.
Yeah, we'd have two stories every week, always, still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, bright, beautiful haunted hotel world and we're just
Haunted hotels are everywhere.
Because we're living in a haunted hotel world and we are haunted hotel girls.
We are haunted hotel girls.
Oh. Well, that's been this. You've been there. We are here too. That's how
You've
this
been
goes.
There and we are here. And that's the way the world goes around.
That's right.
And if anyone wants to borrow The Shining, I'm staring at it right now. It's on my bookshelf. The book version, not the movie. I think I have the movie, too. If you want the DVD, I think I have it at my parents' house.
Cecilia will lend you her DVD copy of The Shining.
I will lend you. I also have the book. They're very different.
Classic. So, yeah, I hear it. My sister's read the book, though I don't think she's seen the movie. And I've seen the movie and not
but
read, the book.
Read the book.
So... What can you do?
You could read the book.
Oh, I guess I could fill out my knowledge and read the book. I guess that's always an option.
You could watch
the
movie. It doesn't.
But Cecilia, as I said earlier, I can't read, so.
This is true. You can listen to the audiobook.
I could. I really, maybe I will. Mm. That is more enticing to me than reading. Actually, it's not. Why am I lying?
You don't listen to audiobooks. What are you
doing? I like to read. I can't tell a lie. I love reading. It's the best.
You must not tell lies.
No, I must not tell lies. I should make more time for reading, though. I just haven't read. I love it, but I haven't done it in a while. For leisure. Cecilia, where can the good people find us?
I'm in my apartment most of the time. Stop! Because I'm allowed to leave.
Shut it down.
We're on Instagram at Ghosts Are Everywhere Pod. Yeah. You can email us at ghostsareverywherepod@gmail.com.
Sure.
We're on Twitter at GAEpod.
That's right.
And, yeah, I'm in my apartment. I'm with my cat. And we're in the basement.
Right. And those are the facts.
My address is...
I'm not going to bleep out your address. If you say it, it's your own fault. I'm not taking that extra time today. Editing process.
Address is...
I will bleep that. I will.
Tell the people. I know where you live.
Oh, no. I never should have become your friend. this is the part of the 10 plus year friendship that I go, oh, no. Well,
the fact I know where you live.
Yeah, and you're going to say it on our podcast for the people to hear. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I too am at home. I too am just vibing. We're going to go and separately watch Hotel Transylvania 3 now. That time of the show where we leave you to go do that, which we do after every show. Yeah.
It's very important.
And I have a question for you, though, Cecilia.
Yeah, go ahead.
An important one. Were you going to say something else?
Oh, no, I was just going to say about my New Year's resolution to have more baths.
Yes, how's it going?
I left the house today and then went to Walmart. And at Walmart, because it's not Christmas anymore, they had these, like, containers of bath bombs that are, like, Christmas-themed. So I got one of those. It was $5 and it has, like, 20 bath bombs in it.
Steal of a deal, baby.
I'm doing it. I'm making it
happen.
We
love a bargain, baby. Who's doing her thing.
Got some a bargain bath bomb.
We love it.
I went to the Dufferin Mall Walmart. And that's where I live, if anyone wants to know. I live at the Dufferin Mall Walmart.
She lives at the Dufferin Mall Walmart. She lives specifically in the bath bomb aisle.
Yes.
Below the discounted bath bombs. You're welcome for it. You can visit her there. Yep. Send her all her fan mail, too.
Care of the Dufferin Mall Walmart.
Yeah.
Bath bomb aisle.
Correct. I have a question for you, though, Cecilia.
Oh, yes.
I just want to know, have you seen any ghosts lately?
Oh, no, but my washing machine was making weird noises, so that could be ghosts.
Ooh.
It's probably pipes, but could be ghosts. It could be ghosts in my pipes.
Well, there's always next week. When I'll ask you this question again, like we always do.
Yeah. I'll continue to investigate and let you know if there's maybe ghosts in my new apartment.
Great.
Located underneath the bath bombs at the Dufferin Mall Walmart.
The bath bombs at the Dufferin Mall. That's right, right, all right.
Carly.
Yeah, Cecilia.
Hey. You seen any ghosts?
Golly gosh, I have not seen any ghosts. No, I went to my house where I am now. I went to work. I went outside a little. Between those places, no ghosts. So, yeah. A ghostless gal am I today.
Ghost, no ghosties.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'm a no ghost. No, it's a no ghost day. What can I say?
This boy, he's kind of ghosty. You heard him making some noise earlier. He sounds quite,
that's
quite
right.
Spooky.
He sounds more grizzly than ghost, though, if you ask me.
Ghost or grizzly?
Ghost or grizzly. You be the judge.
On a spectrum of ghost to grizzly, where are you, Amy?
Transformed.
Well, he's biting me, so that seems grizzly-like.
Well, it's classic. Alrighty. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks
as always.
For being here with us. In these trying times.
Yep. Which are all the times. Always. But we
always,
appreciate you.
We're always trying. This is me trying.
We're trying hard. Can't you tell? This is me trying. And with that, we'll leave you. Bye.
Toodaloo. Ta-ta.
Oh, that was something different. 3, 2, oh God, have mercy on us. So 3, 2, 1.